The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' For his fullness we all have received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Word made flesh by the breath of the Spirit, continue to dwell in us and keep us in you, that we may continue to be faithful to your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, last Sunday I stood up here and said I'm not going to be back for a while. God has an incredible sense of humor. It was a long week, and my wife said, "After for one more week, I'm going to lose you." So, she also, you're going to have to talk to her next week to understand this, because I still don't fully understand it. But she told me as I was leaving this morning that as she's starting to put the pieces of her dissertation and her research together, she's trying to find the right words to describe the people of God here at First Lutheran, because of how unique we are and how empowered we are. And it's interesting to watch that process, to put into words what you know. But that's what I was thinking about this week a lot. And I invite you to think about your own week. But all the different places that we encountered God this week. Last Sunday, as I was in the fellowship hall, Steve Cheeseman came to me and said, "We got a baby on the way. What do we do?" "Well, I know what to do. You boil water now." Go up to St. Mary's. And they had everything in place for Venice. They had the translators ready and everything. And is it Masi? What? Yeah. Moses. Okay. And Moses came into the world. And there were a few hiccups on the way, but Mom and baby are here. And then Monday, our cat hadn't been feeling well. And we took him to the vet, and I got a call from my wife that I better come over. And it turns out that we had one very sick cat that had to get put down. And if you're pet lovers, you know what that's like. But the vet, wow. She was one of the most incredible and compassionate people we had ever met. And she spent time with us, and she talked to us,
and she ministered to us. And then Tuesday, my wife was planning a funeral for Milt Peterson. She calls me up after she's done, and she said, guess what you're doing Sunday? Wednesday was a fun day. We did a little bit of running around. We got some food over the house. We got Manisi down to Peoria. And we kind of were doing everything, and we hadn't had a translator. And suddenly this translator falls into our lap. And as we're talking to Manisi and the family at the house, he's on the phone, and they're going back and forth, and suddenly the phone cuts out. And I think, uh-oh. And there's a knock at the door, and it's him. He figured it was easier to be there. And then as we're leaving, John Pratt from the school district stops in with a couple of needed baby gates. And then Friday, how many of you were at the funeral or helped out? Yeah, that was wonderful, but there was a little hitch that nobody probably knew about. It seems that the committal was way ahead of the funeral, and there was a whole bunch of time in between, and there was hungry people. So what do we do here with hungry people? We feed them with coffee cake and receiving Pringle. And the dinner, there was 100 people at the funeral dinner, at least. And of course, the dishwasher broke. But as far as I know, Jim, you don't have dishpan hands, right? And then we ended up with a member in the hospital. And ministry has been happening to that person all along. And then Sunday morning, it's today, isn't it? I said to Beth, I don't know if I can sing. She said, oh, sing. And as we're practicing the getting anchored, and we're practicing the choral amen, I said, oh, you read the text, didn't you? Probably read my mind. What I am learning, and I'm a little stubborn sometimes, I've got a bunch of German in me, but what I'm learning is that when we look for the Word made flesh who dwells among us, that we see the Word made flesh. And I think that's something we may take for granted. I told you about my week. Take your week and figure out where that Word made flesh was present for you in the presence of other people. Because that's one of the most powerful scripture verses there is. The Word became flesh. And the NRSV kind of limps it out a little bit and said, lived among us. I like the old translation that says, dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And think about what it means that Jesus dwells among us. He could be sitting in the pews right now, next to you. Could be the person ahead of you in the grocery store. Could be the person with the car broken down on the side of the road. Could be the angel that helps you when help is needed. That's the power of the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's what I like about John's Gospel. The other Gospels tell the story of Jesus. But John tells us who Jesus is in relationship to us and to God. And again, that powerful, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's powerful stuff. That someone loves us so much that they would become one of us to save us. And if you wonder about the power of God working this afternoon, since there's no good football games on. Oh, and I forgot to tell you, on Wednesday I went to watch the Rose Bowl, and I don't have ESPN because I'm too cheap. But this afternoon, go home and read Isaiah, the passage that Myrna read. Myrna, what word, was there a word that leapt out for you as you were reading that? Love. And the other word? As God is talking, God keeps saying, I will do this. I have done this. I counted at least 8 or 9 I's in there depending on how you count it. And that's what is so powerful for us. That is what we need to grasp. That is what we need to hold on to. That is what we need to never forget. Is that God, Emmanuel, is with us. Sometimes we take it for granted. And I want to make sure we don't become complacent in the gospel. That's why the hymn after the sermon is, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. It's a reminder that as the people of God, as we are immersed in the word of God, as the word dwells among us, as the word takes on flesh, as the word comes to us through God and one another, we are strengthened for mission and ministry in the world, in Galesburg, in the neighborhood, in this place. Because that's what God calls us to do when God became flesh. He gave us the power to become children of God, heirs to the kingdom, heirs that have been filled with God's grace and God's truth. Christians know that. But not all Christians live that. And that is what we are called to do, to live the creative and redeeming word of God. To be hospitable to the stranger with coffee cake that comes from Racine, where I lived. To visit the sick. And talking to a family member, I found out he was in Beaver Dam last week, or a couple weeks ago, where my mom lives. Only we call it Beaver Garden in our family because we're not allowed to swear. But to look around us and see how God has connected us to one another, how God has been in our midst, how God has given us incredible gifts. An empty house now has, is it 15 or 16? I don't remember what the number was before the baby. But those are the things that God is doing in our lives and in this place. And I just want to remind us in the strongest possible way that when God is doing great things, when God is alive and at work in the world, when God's love fills us, when God's power empowers us, when God's strength is in us, when God's grace sets us free, and when we live that, we have to be careful for the powers of sin, death, and the devil, because they don't like it when God's people are doing God's work. So be diligent. Watch out, people of God, here at First Lutheran. God is with you. The Word of God that became flesh has dwelt among us and is empowering us and strengthening us to be God's hand and heart and feet in a world that sorely needs the love of God. Stay strong. Pray. Read the Bible. And know that God loves you today and every day. In Jesus Christ, we give thanks. Amen.